Let me just take you through your first campaign. Mike Sinar was an 8-term incumbent, a Democrat. But he was defeated in the runoff of the Democratic nomination by a retired principal by the name of Virgil Cooper.
Great man. His son went to work for me when I went to Congress.
He had spent $20,000, but then he had help because the NRA, tobacco companies, and cattlemen were all opposed to Sinar. So you came in at a perfect storm. It was a narrow victory for Virgil by just over 2,000 votes. Why was Sinar defeated?
Because he wasn't trusted.
Wasn't trusted. Had been for 8 terms.
Yeah, for 16 years he'd been up there. But his votes certainly didn't represent the constituency that he represented, one. And he wasn't necessarily straightforward about how he voted when he communicated with his district.
And would have skewed more and more liberal
for
the district.
Oh, yeah. He's far, far, far too liberal for the 2nd District. The 2nd District was really an old conservative Democrat district. It would still be that way today if the Democratic Party hadn't changed. If it were the same, you wouldn't have any Republicans in Oklahoma. You'd have conservative Democrats.
Mike died January 1996. He died of a brain tumor. He was just 45. He was 28 when he defeated incumbent Ted Reisenhuber, who'd gone to Washington and seemed to live a Hollywood lifestyle.
Sure did. I remember the stories.
The swimming pools and all
the beds.
Right. But in the campaign, you and Virgil were in agreement, and that was to defeat Mike Sinar.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, all my ads were aimed at Mike Sinar.
You never talked about Virgil at all. Did you have a tough time running against Virgil?
There wasn't anything bad to say. I mean, the only time my wife even got upset the whole time is he said we were supporting Beer Fisher because she owned, I think, 100 shares in a mutual fund that had 0.2% ownership in Anheuser-Busch or something. Actually, I went by and saw him several times, went to his funeral when he died. Very amicable relationship.
Did you enjoy the campaign? Were you energized? You didn't like it.
I don't like campaigns. You know, what I like is town hall meetings where we actually get down and talk about what's going on and what people think and where they're from. You know, if you let Americans breathe, then if they get a breathe and then they see some response to that breathe, you won't have troubles. If you don't let Americans breathe or you let them breathe and you don't do any response to their breathing, we're going to follow history.
Did you ever question your decision to run in that campaign? Did you ever say, well, maybe I shouldn't have done this? When you say, I've decided what's right for Tom, are you always certain about that?
Yeah, pretty much so. I mean, financially, it was hardship all the time. My net assets went down every year I was ever in public office. Because my earning power, you know, versus my lifestyle and my debt, it just never worked. I have never figured out how all the politicians tend to increase their net worth while they're in office. I'm obviously not dubious enough to figure that out.
1994 was an interesting year because it brought in many like you, the Contract for America. Tell us about the Contract for America, what that was.
Well, just specific things that Congress said they'd do or eliminate that most of the Americans agreed with. They put it out as a campaign platform, and they did 95% of it in the first 100 days in Congress.
This was the first time Republicans were in power in 40 years.
Yeah.
So you came in at the perfect time. You were ending the era in American politics, bringing in another, and you wanted to stop large government, start an era of less government. So how did that work?
Not well. The real difference between politicians and people who want to serve is politicians, what they're looking at is the next race and what does it take to win the next race. And the leadership that we had didn't really want to solve those problems. What they wanted to do is make sure they won the next race. So their focus is over here when the focus needed to be here. My political philosophy is if you tell people you're going to do something and do it, and you develop trust, they'll reelect you all the time. It's a matter of trust. The political machines up there think it's about money, numbers, etc. And some of it is, but most of it is, how do you get people to trust you?
The Speaker of the House was Newt Gingrich.
Mm-hmm.
You took issue with the Speaker. And when you do that, that's a big thing to do, isn't it?
Well, it is historically, but, you know, one-on-one, it's not. When somebody makes a commitment to you, when somebody says they're going to do something and then they don't do it, that doesn't take me long to learn that lesson. And that was true with the 13 of us that said, hey, you're out. So even though we didn't win the vote to vacate the chair, after the next election, he was out. He'd lost the confidence. We came to actually fix things. We didn't come to set up a dynasty to be in power. We didn't care who was in power. What we wanted was things fixed. It was a great big opportunity missed. When the Speaker of the House is crying about getting off the back door of an airplane, you know, he shouldn't be Speaker of the House.
All right, to show how it works in Washington, in 95, you had voted to decrease committee spending by a third. First of all, what is committee spending?
Well, each committee has a budget. In the Senate, my last year, I was the ranking member of the Homeland Security Government Affairs. I think I had like a $3.5 million budget. And, of course, I didn't come close to spending any of that.
You wouldn't have needed
half of it, max. In my own office budget, I sent back $500,000 to $600,000 every year because they give you way too much money. Either they give you way too much money or the people there don't know how to spend money. One or the other. I would bet it's both. So we voted to reduce committee spending.
But then 2 years later, leadership decided to increase committee spending by 15%.
Yeah.
Several members of your class threatened to vote against the bill. Mm-hmm. So that's when you had a confrontation with Newt Gingrich.
Right.
How did that go?
Well, it all started, you know, this all started in the first 100 days we were there because we had all these points of the contract, and all of a sudden it was said by leadership, well, maybe we don't need to vote on term limits. Since we're in charge now, maybe we don't need to vote on term limits. So they rigged the vote, so everybody got to vote on term limits, but they knew not one of those would get a majority. And then I knew the game was up. I said, here it is. Here's the slimy part of politics. So no longer did I trust them. Then when they reneged on their committee stuff, you know what the renege on the committee stuff was? It's to have extra money to spend against Clinton. That's what it was all about. It was all political. It didn't have anything to do with the needs of Congress because that wasn't going to be divided among every committee. It was going to be divided into one committee, that 15%, which was going to be doubling or tripling, so you could investigate Clinton.
The sexual charges and then ultimate impeachment.
Yeah. Again, it's sleight of hand. The truth isn't what the truth is, and you can't trust what's coming out of Washington. I mean, you just can't trust it. You can't trust the budget numbers, you can't trust OMB, you can't trust CBO. You can trust GAO and the IGs. Most of the time you can trust the IGs. But there's not many people you can trust. And the other thing is we have this menagerie that is gigantic that nobody's in control of. Nobody's in control. It's on autopilot to spend our kids' future. And nobody's doing anything about it.
Nor will they.
Well, they can.
But will they?
Well, it doesn't look like this cycle.
But it takes more than apparently 13 who came to Congress.
No, it takes leadership. And it takes a president that says, look, we have some real problems coming up. Why don't we do something about them now? Painful? Yes. For all of us? Yes. Could we do something? Yes. Why don't we?